Welcome. We're glad you're here. You're about to hear the teaching of Pastor Randy Castillo from Harvest Bible Church in Mojave Valley, Arizona. Please enjoy our website at hbcaz.org. So get ready. Find your Bible. Open your heart. Here is Pastor Randy.
Oh, yes, Lord. Father, we do thank you. To be in your house truly is better than anywhere else we could be. And Father, I thank you for that. And Lord, we do praise you and honor you, Lord. And tonight, we ask, Holy Spirit, that you would be in the midst of this time. Father, that you would speak to our hearts. That you give us ears to hear. Give us discernment, Lord. We so need discernment, especially in these days. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. Hey, just have a couple announcements for you. First of all, Sunday we are having full service with Children's Church, and of course, like now, yeah. But wow, what a great turnout even this evening. So, listen. Obviously, tonight we are talking about ignorance is not bliss. Now, I explained to someone earlier this week that, you know what, we're all ignorant in certain areas. You know, there are things that I know that you don't know. There's things you know that I don't know. There's things that none of us know. But we can trust in God's word to lead us to truth. Now, as we do this very sensitive topic tonight, listen, I'm not trying to be sensational. I'm not trying to freak people out. And I'm definitely not trying to be a conspiracy theorist. I just want to look at some facts. Okay? Now, one more thing. If you're watching on Facebook or YouTube, in 48 hours, you're going to have to trust me on this. In 48 hours, we are going to remove this video. So if you want to share it or you want someone to see it, they got to do it within the next 48 hours. Trust me, I know why I'm saying this. So don't, just trust me on that. So 48 hours, the audio will be there, but the video will only be there 48 hours. So tonight's message isn't so much on prophecy, more of an update. However, there will be some aspects of prophecy. Not to put fear or to freak you out, just simply to give you some info, some food for thought, some stuff you can look up yourself and investigate, and I pray you do. This will be more of an eye-opener. Now, many of you may know some of this stuff because it's been floating around on Facebook like crazy, but what we're going to do is we're going to pile it all up into one thought, one idea, one concept. And know this, what I'm going to show you today, there's so much more out there than what you're going to see. So I really struggled with what to give you. I've been compiling. I have a bunch. So this is just a little taste. And a lot of the stuff you're going to see, ooh, I've seen that. Well, it's edited down. I only took chunks and snippets of certain things you may have seen. We're not watching any full videos. If you want to see the full video of any of this stuff, you feel free to go and look it up. Now, let me pray one more time, and then I want to read a verse. Wow. The mic. Yeah, hello. Okay. Let me pray. Father, I just pray right now that that we do not have any technical difficulties, that that everything would flow freely, that this message would get out. And Father, more than anything, that we would turn our eyes to you, the author and finisher of our faith. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Now, if you need a Bible, the ushers will put one in your hand. We're going to hit some verses. And so if you want to follow along or jot them down, that would be good for you. All right, Matthew 24, verse 3 through 8. In Matthew 24, verse 3 through 8. Now, as he sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately, saying, "Tell us, when will these things be, and what will be the sign of your coming at the end of the age?" And Jesus answered and said to them, "Take heed that no one deceive you, for many will come in my name, saying, 'I am the Christ,' and will deceive many. You will hear, here you go, you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not troubled. For all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There will be famine, pestilences, earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginning of sorrow. So these are just signs of the beginning of sorrows. Of course, we believe, I believe, that when the real trouble comes, we won't be here. This is just, you know, like a woman having labor pains. We won't be there for the birth. We would be raptured, I do believe. But no matter what, here's what I want you to take away before we start digging into this. God has a plan, and we can trust in him. Right? Listen, is he sovereign? Is he in control? Does he love you? Does he have a plan? Can we not go to the Bible and read and know what the end is going to be? Yes, we know the story. We know how it ends. What we don't know is what's going to happen in between until it ends. Matthew 28:20 says, "Teach them to observe all things I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." And then again he said in John 16:33, "These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." So listen, we can be ignorant of a lot of things, but we are not going to be ignorant to the fact that God has a plan and he's in control. And you already agreed with that. We're not going to be ignorant to the fact that Jesus will return, possibly sooner than we know. Or it could be in our timetable, could be 10 years from now. We don't know. But nevertheless, it's going to be one of those nights, isn't it? Please take this time to shut your phones off. Turn your hearing aids up. The mic's crackling. I hear it every now and then. Father, I just pray right now we can get through this, Lord. Please. Now, when this whole Rona, I call it, we don't want to be tagged. When this whole viral pandemic kicked in, I was on board. Why? We didn't know anything about this thing. I just knew this. When push comes to shove, you can watch what the people with the money do because they love money more than anything. We know that. The Bible shows us that over and over again. Unsaved men love money more than anything. And as we were watching, I was going, look at Disney shutting, casinos are shutting, professional sports teams are shutting, and all of these people stand to lose millions, if not billions of dollars. So there must be something. Plus, the higher up you go in finances, the more you rub elbows with people who are in the know. So there was truly, truly a fear. Now, this thing is real. Okay, it's real. It's a real disease. And we'll look at where it came from. It's real. It's not fictitious. It's not made up. People have died from this thing. However, it's turned into something more than that. And that's where it gets scary. Now, you're going to see a person in a couple of these videos. His name is Joe Rogan. The reason why I put him in here, the reason why I use it, is because he is not a Christian. Number two, he is not a conspiracy dude for the most part, and he is not a Trump supporter. He is not a Republican. He is a liberal. But there's a couple of things he says in a couple of these videos that is reason to pause. So let's watch the first video in our intro tonight.
What would be the best way to gain more control of the people? The best way, first of all, to accelerate despair and accelerate unemployment. You would do all the things that are just going to happen from what naturally happens in a disease. People are willing to give up certain civil liberties if they think they can get more safety.
The anti-COVID-19 volunteer drone task force. Please maintain a social distance of at least 6 feet.
I don't feel protected at all. I feel that my rights have been completely removed. My children's rights. The world that I am raising my children in has been completely changed.
This large gathering is also a public health violation. So at this point, I'm going to ask you all to disperse. If you do not disperse, you will be subject to a physical arrest.
Where's the Constitution?
If you do not leave, you will be arrested.
Constitution!
Let's go! Let's go!
Get out! Get the off my leg! What are you doing? You have no right to stop me! You have no right to arrest me! What are you doing? For what? You're not even telling me why you're doing this! For what? For what? What are you doing? What are you doing? I don't want to sit up and sit up and hurt. We ain't helping, guys! What the f*** is he doing, guys? I'm just running my slur! What is he doing?
But we might come out of this different than we went in. That's real. There's tanks driving down the road in California. Tanks. And they're like, oh, they're just getting supplies or something. Like, what are you... There's tanks rolling through New York City. My friend John Joseph.
Wow.
He sent me a video from his phone of tanks rolling down New York City. Like armed Humvees and tanks.
Police are apparently arresting a dad for throwing a ball to his daughter in a park of about, I don't know, 30, 40 acres. Apparently that is not allowed by Brighton.
She's like, Daddy, I don't want you to get arrested. And, you know, at this point I'm thinking, there's no way they're going to arrest me. You know, there's no way. This is insane. So I'm telling her, I'm like, don't worry, Daddy's not going to get arrested. You know, I've done nothing wrong. You know, don't worry about it. And then they arrest me. None of the officers had masks on. None of them had gloves on. And they're in my face, handcuffing me. They're touching me.
Sheriff's on the beach, but Sheriff Bud's coming now. Could this be the first arrest made for surfing?
High-speed pursuit. High-speed pursuit!
Uh-oh. Sheriff Boat. Uh-oh, he's screwed. Now he's got this guy. This guy's coming in. Let's see the highway pursuit. Oh my God, look at this. He cut him off. Throw the tax down. Pop the tires.
I'm a good citizen. Ain't breaking no law. Ain't selling no drugs. I'm just preaching the word of God. And look at all these police cars here. This is America, private property of a church. Yes, sir. I got a letter from my lawyer, too. You want to read my letter from my lawyer? Okay, I'm good.
Well, you get an order from the government.
Yeah.
Your right are suspended.
No, our right don't come from authority. We're talking about the constitutional law, the first, second amendment, the U.S. Constitution that was given to us by our forefather. Tate Reed can't take it away. Mayor Eric Simmons can't take it away, nor the police officers.
Can be suspended.
They can't.
You are in violation of the executive order, okay? You cannot gather and protest. You are in a state of emergency. You cannot gather and protest.
Okay.
What question? All right. Hey, listen. All right. I'm not answering questions. I'm here to tell you. As of right now, you're putting me in a situation where I gotta make a move one way or the other, okay?
These officers are just doing their job, okay. And I'm just doing mine.
God bless America!
And that's where it gets weird, man, because who are these people? These people that are telling you can't go anywhere, they're just the government. They're just people. They're people telling people that they can't go somewhere, which is fine if we need to do that, like right now. But what if it just sort of stays that way?
Governor Philip Murphy of New Jersey was on Tucker Carlson, and Tucker was asking him questions because apparently they had arrested some people who were having a small church gathering. And Tucker Carlson asked him why he also opened liquor stores, but he would not open up churches. And he said this, the governor said, "We received advice from recovery coaches of the consequences to medical health. They cautioned us not to shut them down." Not to shut down a liquor store. Listen, I don't know. If someone wants to go buy a beer, you go buy a beer. That's fine. Don't get drunk, the Bible says. But my problem is this. You're going to keep a liquor store open, but you can't open a church. And then he said this. Tucker Carlson said, but you're closing churches having people arrested for attempting to attend them. Didn't anyone say that practicing one's faith might be important to one's mental health? And then he asked him this, on what scientific basis did you decide that sitting in church was more dangerous than standing in a liquor store to buy liquor? And he says, on what scientific basis did you decide a man sitting on the beach alone was going to spread the coronavirus? Because they arrested a man. He said, how do you arrest the spread of the coronavirus, and what epidemiology did you use? What is your standing point? He said, the Bill of Rights. By what authority do you nullify the Bill of Rights when you issue this order? And the answer from the governor, that's above my pay grade. I wasn't thinking of the Bill of Rights when we did this. Here's a thought. Just crazy thought. Walmart used to be open when? 24 hours a day. But now it's only open, or was only open till 8. Why? Because the coronavirus comes out at night? Ooh. It's open all day long, but we're going to cut people's hours and cut their pay and not have it open when they would normally be working. I go shopping at 2 in the morning. That's when I go. Okay. There are few people there. That's the lowest amount of people is at 2 in the morning. But that's when we're going to close. What's the agenda there? Who decides? We've seen this getting ridiculous. Listen, you can go to a hardware store, but you can't buy fertilizer. What? Listen, ignorance is not bliss. Now understand, the Rona has changed our lives. And to say that it's changed our lives is an understatement. But here's the thing. In America, New York City has been called the epicenter, right? And many people in the mainstream media have been singing the praises of Governor Cuomo. Well, watch this.
Why is Andrew Cuomo killing nursing home patients? Now, I don't lightly accuse the governor of a state of intentionally killing people. But in fact, that is what he seems to be intending to do. I would like to understand really what his intentions are. But the New York State Department of Health, at his direction, and this is something he's defended in press conferences, has issued a rule that nursing homes are not allowed to test people to see if they have coronavirus. They're not allowed to keep them out if they do have coronavirus. The one place where the vulnerable are, the people who actually could die of this disease, quite probably would, the one place where old people who maybe fought in Vietnam or Korea or had great grandchildren, you know, scrimped and saved, the one they should be safe in a nursing home where their families are paying off and a lot of money so that they would be healthy and safe because maybe they have Alzheimer's, the family can't care for them. And he is sending virus patients there on purpose. And we know thousands of nursing home patients in New York have died of the virus. The New York Post has been doing a series, interviews with their family members. These people are weeping.
Do you think it's possible? I mean, this makes me cringe. I can't believe I'm saying this, but I guess I have to ask the question. Do you think it's possible that he's enough of a social Darwinist that he doesn't care? In other words, there has to be an explanation for this, because this is gruesome. I don't think of him as a murderous man, even though in many ways he is, but I don't think that he means to be wanting to murder the unborn. Or why, in other words, he has to persuade himself that he's doing something good. What do you suppose could possibly be behind him doing something that is patently destructive?
I mean, First of all, remember, this is a man who lit up the Empire State Building in pink to celebrate the legalization of infanticide in the state of New York, okay? So his notion of what is good could be so perverse compared to ours that it's not even recognizable. The Aztecs thought they were doing good when they committed human sacrifice, or they convinced themselves. So did the Canaanites, presumably. What are the reasons he says he's doing it? Remember, this man just wrote a law, Matilda's Law, named after his elderly mother, or grandmother or mother, about protecting the elderly. And he goes on and on about the need to protect the vulnerable if we save just one life. And yet this man is dumping virus patients in nursing homes and people are dying.
And they're saying that they don't have time to wait for all of this testing and they need to get back to work in order to feed their families. Their savings is running out. They don't have another week. They're not getting answers. So their point is the cure can't be worse than the illness itself. Yeah. What is your response to them?
The illness is death. What is worse than death?
Well, what if somebody commits suicide because they can't pay their bills?
Yeah, but the illness is maybe my death as opposed to your death. You said they said the cure is worse than the illness. The illness is death. How can the cure be worse than the illness if the illness is potential death?
What if the economy failing?
Worse than death?
Equals death.
Very true.
Because of mental illness, the people stuck at home.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't equal death. Economic hardship. Yes. Very bad. Not death. Emotional stress from being locked in a house. Very bad. Not death. Domestic violence on the increase. Very bad. Not death. And not death of someone else. See, that's what we have to factor into this equation. Yeah, it's your life. Do whatever you want. But you're not responsible for my life. You have a responsibility to me. It's not just about you.
Okay, hold on. Hold on. Can you show the next picture real quick? That there is a copy of the order that he gave, and I have it highlighted. Let me zoom in because I don't have my glasses. The first highlighted part says, as a result, this direction is being issued to clarify expectations for nursing home receiving residents returning from hospitalization and for nursing homes accepting new admissions. Jump down. It says, no resident shall be denied readmission or admission to nursing home solely based on confirmed or suspected diagnosis of COVID-19. In other words, even if you suspect that a person coming in has COVID to the nursing home, which are the most susceptible, you gotta let them in. That's by order of Governor Cuomo. Okay? He says, isolation, depression, but it's not death. Financial hardship, but it's not death. Okay, CNN, April 22nd, 2020. The world is facing multiple famines on biblical proportion in just a matter of month. The UN has said warning that the corona epidemic will push an additional 130 million people to the brink of starvation. The corona epidemic will cause global famine of biblical proportion. That's the UN and CNN both saying that this pandemic is going to cause 130 million people to the brink of starvation. But it's not death. No, listen, the facts are that every time this says we got another case of the coronavirus, yeah, but that's not death. In fact, the percentage of people who are dying from the coronavirus is 0.01%. That is almost 30 times less than what they had predicted would die. Listen. Oh, by the way, I didn't have time. Looking at time, I didn't have time to add it. But he goes on to tell the reporter, he goes, you want to work? Go get a job as one of the essential workers. Go get a job. You can work tomorrow. No, I'm sorry, sir. There are 20 to 30 million people out of work. You can't just walk out there and find a job if there are 30 million people out of work. But see, it's so easy for these people who are so rich to sit back and eat their ice cream, if you know what I'm talking about. I didn't say that. I just said people eating ice cream. Listen, it's easy. This is so sad. The French prime minister comes out and his hair's all a mess to look like, you know, he's living at home. You can't run a brush through your hair, bro. It's so fake. It's really making me mad as I look. Okay, let's go a little further. Listen, ignorance is not bliss. And by the way, if you're buying this corona stuff, after all the evidence that you're going to see tonight, I got some property, oceanfront property up in Wyoming to sell you. You know, that kind of, you know, I got a bridge to sell you. And by the way, I'm just going to barely touch the surface. There is so much. It would take me 5-6 services to even just giving you snippets like I'm going to do now. Now, listen, what are we waiting for? What is Fauci waiting for? What is Bill Gates? And we're going to talk about him in a minute. What are they waiting for? Vaccine. Yes, very good. Do you know how many people die each year from the flu? A lot. Do you realize how many years we've had a flu vaccine? So we're waiting for a vaccine like the flu vaccine that you'll die anyway. So what does that mean? They never want us to open up. Why? Because there may be another agenda. But by the way, okay, so we want a vaccine. What we want is effective treatment. Well, can I tell you there is an effective treatment? But because President Trump said it, everyone bashed. Well, I can tell you, I can find you hundreds. In fact, I have a lot of them. And hundreds of doctors who say they've used hydroxychloroquine and it works. Watch the video.
The things that I'm going to tell you today are from my personal experience in my office. Patients that have walked into my office. And here's how they present. These patients present with a fever. A fever like the fever that you get with malaria. It comes on at night. They have night sweats. These patients present with cough only elicited with deep breath. So they are short of breath. Their lungs are tight, as though you would notice with an asthmatic attack. But most importantly, these patients present in panic. They're actually afraid to get diagnosed. They have been staying at home for days and not coming into the office. Why is that? Well, that's real simple. When they go to the emergency room, they're turned away. If they have a fever, they're sent home and told to quarantine to save the rest of society. During those many precious days when they're sent away and sent home, they infect their family members. And so a lot of my patients are in groups of families. When this pandemic started, President Trump was giving daily interviews to the media. And he came across, because you realize as President of the United States, he's dealing with heads of states of other countries. And he came across a treatment protocol that had been successful in France. Yes, one doctor had treated 29 patients and every single patient had survived. And every single patient had improved. And President Trump thought that that was newsworthy. So I wrote these things down. I wrote these medications down. And I waited and waited for my COVID patients that just didn't come in. Because you see, they were going to hospitals and emergency rooms, and they were going to employee clinics looking for treatment, and they were being sent home and told to quarantine for 14 days. Don't come out. Protect the community. Well, what about them? What about their health? So they started slipping through the cracks and calling me. Are you open? Hell yes. Can I come in? Absolutely. That's what I make the big bucks on. And as they came in, other countries, countries that had been inflicted with this virus before we even knew its name. And so I wrote a prescription. And guess what I found? To my surprise, the very next day, they were all amazingly better. I was actually surprised. Within 24 hours, the patient was completely symptom-free. And here's the take-home message for all of you. It's called hydroxychloroquine. Hydroxychloroquine. It costs $13. $13. It's been on the market for 60 years. It is the candy for lupus. It is considered a vitamin for arthritis patients. And for some reason, those bureaucrats that are standing next to our president that think that they know more about medicine than I do are telling me I can't use it. In fact, not only are they telling me I can't use it, in two states it's completely illegal to prescribe this, right? Most of my colleagues are afraid to use it because the agencies that they work for have told them that the risk is too high. Liability, it hasn't been FDA approved. After my first or second or third script to the pharmacy, which again, readily available, $15 for hydroxychloroquine, $15 for Zithromax, I got a phone call from the pharmacist. He wanted me to tell him what the diagnosis was for my patient number one and what was the diagnosis for patient B and patient C. And I very quickly told him that I did not have to give him that information. Remember HIPAA? Wait a minute. It gets worse. Here's what the pharmacist told me. I'm not going to prescribe this. I'm not going to fill it. I'm not going to dispense it without a diagnosis. I told him, this is privileged information between me and the patient. Your job is to put the pills in the bottle. Here's what I found out. Remember we talked about the freedoms and the liberties that we're losing without you and me even knowing that we're losing them? Okay, here it goes, guys. Every time you go to the pharmacy board has stated that those two prescriptions, starting in early March, will not be dispensed by a pharmacist unless it comes with a diagnosis.
When we use the phrase scientific study in a headline or on television, it's meant to convey a sense of seriousness, of scientific rigor. And when such studies are conducted on patients, researchers must account for variables such as a patient's age, medical history, current disease progression, just to name a few things. Then the manner in which that data is organized, examined, and then reported can determine a lot about whether the study is credible or not. Well, a survey or study released yesterday on hydroxychloroquine for use on COVID patients is shockingly irresponsible. And as top virologists are saying, perhaps even agenda-driven. It was published in preprint form and not yet peer-reviewed, and it claims to show that hydroxychloroquine shows no effectiveness against COVID, and its use could actually, according to this survey, lead to an even higher fatality rate. Sounds terrible. Well, that's when the headline readers who hate Trump and, of course, this network, that's when they pounce. Aha! Trump and some on Fox reported that patients were benefiting from hydroxychloroquine. Obviously, I was one of them reporting on that. And now, this study, they say, shows that hydroxy kills people, so...
Not only is there no medical benefit, Elizabeth, this study shows higher death rates among patients who took it?
Yes, much higher death rates.
It could actually be harming patients who take it. Medical professionals have repeatedly urged caution, but the president and his allies at Fox News aren't known for patience or... for caution.
They're misleading their viewers. Why would we ever think a Fox News star or any president should be promoting a drug? It's outlandish.
Now, I'm not a doctor. I don't play one on TV. But renowned French virologist Dr. Didier Raoult released his own study on hydroxychloroquine and azithromycin just a few weeks ago. It demonstrated 91% effectiveness in more than 1,000 patients with zero side effects. There was one outcome that was not good, but in the patients that recovered, there was zero side effects. Well, today, okay. That same professor, who's a renowned...
We'll go ahead and stop there just because of time. Well, you can go on and watch the whole report. He speaks why, what was the error in the other report that said it wasn't working? It's because they weren't giving it to the patients until they were almost ready to pass away. It doesn't work then. You have to give it in the early stages. But that's true of a lot of different medications. So go and look it up. Go and look up the positive. There are hundreds, but including one Democratic governor that was healed, and she said, she's a Democrat, she said she took it because she heard the president say it. She called her doctor, said, I want to try it. She did, and she said she felt amazing the very next day. That was a Democrat that said that. And she thanks President Trump that he saved her life. That's her words. Go look it up. So here's the thing, okay? So we've got people dying, yes. Couple of issues. Very early when New York was supposedly bombarded with all this and they were building all these hospitals, there were some people who went with cameras to the hospitals and the hospitals were empty. There were no waiting lines. They even confronted one of the ladies the very next day. The day before, the news was there. Oh, they're overrun. The next day, he came and he was there and he even confronted her and she got nasty with him. He wasn't being nasty. He was just asking her some questions. But one of my questions was, you know, they showed a picture of these big hospitals that they were building, you know, portable ones, and we're going to talk about that here in a minute, Samaritan's Purse. Blow your mind what happened with them. They were showing them, but all empty beds, and they never showed them full. And people, when they went with the cameras, everyone said, oh, it's conspiracy, conspiracy. Now we find out that the hospitals are only 30% full. And, you know, Cuomo, we need more ventilators. Now they've got stocked up on ventilators and they didn't even need them all. He even says that now. But here's the other thing. They're padding the numbers. Advisory.com, its daily briefing, said this. New York City's repost COVID-19 death toll rose sharply after the city's health department revised its count to include deaths of more than 3,778 people with presumptive cases of the disease. Officials said that 3,778 people did not have lab tests confirming that they were positive for corona, yet they were added to the death toll. Watch this video.
So, yeah. Something that would be helpful just to add from an informational level is when reporting sort of COVID cases, to separate out diagnosed with COVID versus had COVID-like symptoms.
Yes.
Because the list of symptoms that could be COVID at this point is like a mile long. So it's like hard to, if you're ill at all, it's like you know, it could be COVID. So just to give people better information. Definitely diagnosed with COVID or had COVID-like symptoms. We're conflating those two so that it looks bigger than it is. Then if somebody dies, was COVID a primary cause of the death or not? If somebody has COVID, gets eaten by a shark, we find their arm has COVID. It's going to get recorded as a COVID death.
Is that real?
I mean, basically,
not that bad, but heart attacks, strokes,
you get hit by a bus,
cancer.
If you get hit by a bus, go to the hospital and die, and they find that you have COVID, you will be recorded as a COVID death.
Why would they do that, though?
Well, right now, the road to hell is paved with good intentions. I mean, it's mostly paved with bad intentions, but there is, you know, some good intention paving stones in there too, and the stimulus bill that was intended to help with the hospitals that were being overrun with COVID patients created an incentive to record something as COVID that is difficult to say no to, especially if your hospital is going bankrupt for lack of other patients. So the hospitals are in a bind right now. A bunch of hospitals they're furloughing doctors, as you were mentioning. If your hospital is half full, it's hard to make ends meet. So now you've got if I just check this box, I get $8,000. Put them on a ventilator for 5 minutes, I get $39,000. Or I got to fire some doctors. So what's this is a tough moral quandary.
Well, in Minnesota, as a physician, I received an email last week from the Department of Health coaching me on how to fill out death certificates. And I've never really received coaching from the vital statistics agency in terms of how to do a death certificate. But basically, I felt like they were saying, you know, you don't have to have a confirmed laboratory test for COVID-19 in order to make the death certificate be COVID-19.
So, wait. Sir, I didn't interrupt you. That and what you just said, I think, is critically important. Can you repeat what you just said, please?
Well, last Friday, I received a 7-page document that sort of told me that if I had an 86-year-old patient that had pneumonia but was never tested for COVID-19, but sometime after she came down with pneumonia, we learned that she had been exposed to her son, who had no symptoms, but later on was identified with COVID-19, that it would be appropriate to diagnose on the death certificate COVID-19. Now, we've not done that. If someone has the pneumonia and it's in the middle of a flu epidemic, and I don't have a test on influenza, I don't diagnose influenza on the death certificate. I will say this elderly patient died of pneumonia.
I don't mean to interrupt you, but I my heart is sinking right now as you're telling me this. You're a doctor. Why in the world would they be sending you out information to fill out death certificates whether the person's been diagnosed with COVID-19 or not, but then to say in the death certificate this person's death was caused by COVID-19? That does not sound right to me.
I went to the person in our office who does most of the death certificates over the last, 10, 20 years, and I said, does this sound right? I had her look at the documents that I printed it off, and she said, well, we've always been told that you always put down just facts. You don't put down any probabilities. You don't put any presumptions down. It's just what you know. And so this is concerning.
You were in hospice and had already been given, a few weeks to live. And then you also were found to have COVID. That would be counted as a COVID death. It means that if you died of a clear alternate cause, but you had COVID at the same time, it's still listed as a COVID death. So everyone who's listed as a COVID death doesn't mean that that was the cause of the death.
Okay, so there you have Kentucky, Minnesota, and Elon Musk, probably one of the smartest human beings on the planet right now, all confirming, and there's much more, confirming that they're inflating the numbers. So think about this. Let's stop, put on your brakes. So if right now with conflated numbers, even the advisory board saying that New York City added 3,700 that were not confirmed, they did not put a COVID test on the body, they just counted it as COVID to raise the numbers. And even at that, it's 0.01%. Then what would be the real numbers? So, okay, wait. Let's prepare. You ready for the rabbit hole? You ready for the rabbit hole? Okay, this next section is where we begin to find out why. Where do we believe the virus came from? China. Wuhan. Watch this.
And I want to take just a slight victory lap because I remember on this very show, Senator, on March 10th, over a month ago, you suggested that there was very likely a link between the Wuhan Institute of Virology and this virus that just so coincidentally happened to occur within a couple miles of that institute. During that time, the mainstream media said this was crazy. This was a conspiracy theory. Yep. There was no evidence of it. Now we are getting multiple reports all saying that the virus came from the lab. My question is, did the U.S. government know that the Wuhan Institute of Virology was conducting this sort of dangerous research? And if we did know, why didn't we stop it?
Absolutely, yes. The U.S. government knew. And in fact, when you and I brought this up on March 10th, a month ago, you're right. It was treated as tinfoil hat, conspiracy theory, nut jobbery. Well, it turns out wasn't just one. There were two labs within miles of where this outbreak occurred that were studying coronaviruses from bats, and that there were internal State Department wires before this pandemic raising concerns about the security in those labs, and that an accidental virus could escape and cause a global pandemic. But I'll tell you, it's worse than that. And let me give you some breaking news right now, which is the U.S. government was funding the Chinese research at the Wuhan Institute of Virology. your taxpayer dollars and my taxpayer dollars. And let me give you specifics that we just got today. Today, an inquiring of the National Institutes of Health, did any of your money go to the Wuhan Institute of Virology? The answer is yes. And here's what they told us in writing today. They said in fiscal year 2019, the funding for the Wuhan Institute for Virology was $76,000 and the $301. $76,301. Now, what did it go to? And I'm repeating what NIH has told me in writing it went to. It was part of an overall $3.7 million funding program that went to 6 years in sites in China, Thailand, Cambodia, Laos, Vietnam, Malaysia, Indonesia, and Myanmar. And here's what they were studying. These are NIH's words. The project included studying viral diversity in animal, parentheses, bats, reservoirs, surveying people that live in high-risk communities for evidence of bat coronavirus infection, and conducting laboratory experiments to analyze and predict which newly discovered viruses pose the greatest threats to human health.
Get to today, I want to talk about this new report that's coming out that indicates about $3.7 million flowed from the National Institutes of Health here in the U.S. to the Wuhan lab in China, the same lab where many people have said that this coronavirus infection first originated. Remember, the Chinese claim it actually came from a market, a bat that was sold at a market. But now we have new information that indicates that the Wuhan lab that was studying coronavirus was also conducting experiments on bats from about 1,000 miles away. Those bats were collected in caves in another province about 1,000 miles from Wuhan. They were transferred back to Wuhan, and then they were being researched for research directly related to studying coronavirus. That lab is only 20 miles from the market where the Chinese government claims the coronavirus first came from. The Wuhan Institute of Virology undertook coronavirus experiments on mammals captured more than 1,000 miles away in Yunnan, which were funded by a $3.7 million grant from the U.S. government. Sequencing of the COVID-19 genome has traced it back to bats found in Yunnan caves, but it was first thought to have transferred to humans at an animal market in Wuhan. The revelation that the Wuhan Institute was experimenting on bats from the area already known to be the source of COVID-19 and doing so with American money has sparked further fears that the lab, not the market, is the original outbreak source. Lawmakers and pressure groups were quick to hit out at U.S. funding being provided for the dangerous and cruel animal experiments at the Wuhan Institute. That has already been out there. And then media has tried to quash that as calling it a conspiracy theory. Well, here's another part of this. So not only was $3.7 million given specifically by the U.S. government and the National Institutes of Health for studying coronavirus in these bats, but beyond that, we also now know that NIAID, the department associated with the National Institutes of Health, of which Dr. Anthony Fauci is in control, had already been conducting experiments with the Wuhan lab in the past in regard to coronavirus. Dr. Anthony Fauci's National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases, NIAID, actually funded a study on bat coronavirus, which was a project that included scientists at the Wuhan Institute of Virology, the Chinese lab at the center of the controversy over their bat research. That study confirmed in 2018 that humans have died from coronavirus.
And if there's one message that I want to leave with you today based on my experience, and you'll see that in a moment, is that there is no question that there will be a challenge to the coming administration in the arena of infectious diseases, both chronic infectious diseases in the sense of already ongoing disease, and we have certainly a large burden of that.
I didn't make
but
this.
But also there will be a surprise.
I didn't. You can keep playing. I didn't put those words.
There will be a surprise outbreak.
So now our attention moves because we're still in China, right? And it's not coming from the bat. You say that's not possible. So we move to the Wuhan laboratory in China that so many people are talking about. And we've actually, the U.S. announced today that they're launching an investigation into the research that's being conducted at that laboratory. Now, Dr. Fauci, he circumvented U.S. law a while back, and he gave $3.7 million to that research facility, that lab in Wuhan, and now he is the face of coronavirus. So it seems that everything is tied here. Fauci is the same one that's pushing social distancing, masks, and vaccines. So
we got to stop it. We got to stop because I have a couple more videos. So they go on. You can look this up yourself. They go on to just research, and so you go, okay, wait. And one guy comes out, he says, listen, Fauci he was involved in giving $3.7 million to the Wuhan lab. If we're believing that this virus came from the Wuhan lab, then he should resign from his position because there's a conflict of interest there. Okay? And listen, they need to investigate this further. This is just what they're finding out now. Now you go, okay, well, wait a minute. Wait. Let's think. This sounds too wild. It really does. You know who is very, very deeply connected with Fauci? Bill Gates. Yes, Bill Gates. Do you know who one of the number one top supporters of the WHO, the World Health Organization, is? Bill Gates. The WHO loves China. They love them. And they want China, they've said this, Bill Gates has said this, the WHO have said this, they want China to be the example. Watch this example.
I will praise China again and again because its actions actually helped in reducing the spread of coronavirus to other countries. The commitment of the political leadership, starting from the number one, from the president himself. And I said it in my speech, the level of his knowledge is very, very amazing. China is doing its best, and that helps. Of course, in addition to that, we call on all member states to also give that kind of attention, both political and technical.
China is working behind the scenes to downplay the coronavirus outbreak, even going so far to falsely accuse the United States for starting it. This tweet from a Chinese government spokesperson claiming that the U.S. Army brought the virus to Wuhan.
Now they're pulling people from their homes. They're claiming that America brought it to China. Maybe what they mean to say is that we paid for it. But this is what they're doing to the people. Here, they are literally in the more poverty-stricken area of China. When they find out that a family has a member with COVID, they are welding the door shut so they cannot come out.
Last week, Dr. Michael Ryan, he's a leader at the World Health Organization, announced that in response to the spread of this virus, authorities may have to enter people's homes and remove family members, presumably by force.
In most parts of the world, due to lockdown, most of the transmission that's actually happening in many countries now is happening in the household, at family level. In some senses, transmission has been taken off the streets and pushed back into family units. Now we need to go and look in families to find those people who may be sick and remove them and isolate them in a safe and dignified manner.
Just so you know, we're coming to your house, seizing your children and, quote, isolating them in a safe and dignified manner.
All right. But that's China, right? That's China. I mean, my gosh, it's a communist nation. The government can do whatever they want. That wouldn't happen here. I don't know if you've heard of a bill called the H.R. 6 I'm not kidding. 6666. Where did they get that number from? Watch this.
You guys got to let everybody know this message that I'm about to give you, because this is something that I just found out. It's beyond belief. This is regarding a House resolution that was initiated on May 1st of this year. 6666. That is not an exaggeration. I have no idea how this works, but this is what the actual House resolution number is, 6666. And I'm going to read you what that House resolution is. Please make sure that you pass this on to every single person that you know. I don't care whether you're in the United States or not, you got to get this information out. House Rule 66 or House Resolution 6666 is for COVID-19 Testing, Reaching, and Contacting Everyone Act. It was introduced by Bobby Rush, who is a Democrat from the state of Illinois. And they have introduced this bill into the House, and they're going to roll this out from a testing standpoint in Ventura County, California, which happens to be where I'm at right now. Basically, this act is to allow individuals to come into your house, and if you've got a cough, or somebody in your family has a cough, or they're gonna, or you have a fever, or anything that they determine that shows that you have COVID-19, regardless of if you've been tested or not, but they're going to use that to pull you or your loved ones, especially your children, away under pretense of public safety. They're going to say that your child has to be removed from you because you have COVID-19, and so to protect your child, we're going to take that child, or we're going to take your grandmother or your father or you and put you into quarantine.
We are beginning a program.
This is actually Ventura County.
Certainly grow into something larger and larger, and that is a community contact tracing program. We've done contact tracing all along. That a contact is a person who's been exposed to someone that we document to have the COVID infection. When we find someone who has a COVID infection, those people are immediately isolated. But we also work with them to figure out who their contacts were. But the purpose of this program is to bring on people. We may bring on up to 50 or even more as the program grows and as we see the needs for it. As we do more testing, we will find more and more people who have COVID-19. And again, we'll isolate every one of them, and we will find every one of their contacts, and we will make sure that they stay quarantined.
If you're in Ventura County, California right now, you need to do something today, because if you don't, tomorrow, it's going to be your child or your parent or your spouse that's going to be removed. It's going to be your brother or your sister. So you need to do something right now.
Show the next picture. I like this. It says, give me liberty or give me death, unless there's a virus with a 99% recovery rate, in which case strip me of my freedoms, my job, my constitutional rights, and put me under house arrest. That is not what America was founded on. Listen, and it amazes me when we have men and women who have fought for our freedoms and they're allowing them and their families to succumb to this. They're stripping us of our constitutional rights. Listen, I understand if there was a serious pandemic out there killing millions of people, which we thought that's what was going to happen. Listen, I said, yes, let's shut the church down because I don't want to see any of you get sick. I don't want to see any, but it's not, it's a real virus made in one, but I think it's not as strong as they were planning. I say planning because we're not done yet. This is going to go a little bit longer than normal. But here's what we know, folks. That we see that. We see, well, that's in China. It doesn't happen here. You know, one of the things I was thinking of in World War II, during World War II, over in France, there were families where their homes, their neighborhoods were totally demolished by bombs. And we think about that. We go, oh, that was over there. That was over. You know, who's to say? We live in a spoiled realm. Think of your neighborhood getting demolished by bombs. Or how about this? Think of your neighborhood being dragged, people being dragged from their home in the name of safety. We know this, that there is coming a time when there will be persecution upon the church. The Bible tells us that. Is it, I don't know, I'm asking you, is it possible that this is just a way of desensitizing us to the persecution that would come? Revelation chapter 6, verse 9. When he opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of those who had been slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, how long, O Lord, holy and true, until you judge and avenge our blood on those who dwell on the earth? And so here we see believers during the tribulation who are being persecuted. Now, do you think that you could just see people killed, innocent people killed? You think society would just go, oh, that's okay. Listen, unless we are desensitized, unless it's because, well, it's for my safety, it's for the betterment of me, lock him up. Do what you want as long as I'm okay. Now, listen, ignorance is not bliss, folks. I'm not telling you what to think about this. I'm showing you some stuff. I'm saying, hey, it seems to be linked. Do your due diligence. We got a couple more videos. Do your due diligence to research this. Now, I want to talk about the chip. And I'm not talking about Doritos. People send me these videos all the time. Oh, Pastor Randy, the mark of the beast, the mark of the beast. I want to, please, share. Know your Bible. Revelation chapter 13. The verse is on the mark of the beast. In Revelation 13, starting in verse 12. Please listen carefully. Because if you send me a video saying, here's the mark of the beast, I'm going to come for you. No, I'm listen, there are, the Bible tells us, listen, verse 12, and he exercised all authority of the first beast in his presence and caused the earth, listen, those who dwell on it to worship the first beast. So what is taking place? Worship of what? The first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. He performed great signs so that even makes fire, and even makes fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. He deceives those who dwell on the earth by these signs, which he was granted to do in the sight of the beast, telling those who dwell on the earth to make an image to the beast who was wounded by the sword and lived. And he was granted power to give breath to the image of the beast, that image of the beast would both speak and cause many who would not worship the image of the beast to be killed. So what we heard here twice, worship of the beast, right? Twice you've heard that. And he caused all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on their right hand and on their forehead, and that no one may buy or sell except the one who has the mark or the name of the beast and the number of his name. Here is the wisdom. Let him who understands calculate the number of the beast, for it is the number of man. His number is 666. But notice this. Involved with the taking of the mark is what? Worship. Now, if they come out with a chip for the corona, I'm not taking it. Not because I think it's the mark of the beast, but because I think it's going to violate our rights. Watch this.
In 2004, the FDA approved a chip that is implanted into a person's hand. In 2019, Elon Musk and Neuralink have announced that they are planning on implanting computer chips into people's heads so that we can merge with artificial intelligence. MIT, under funding of the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, has developed a quantum dot ink implant that can be monitored by a smartphone. And in 2020, world patent number 060606 was published by Microsoft Technology, titled Cryptocurrency System Using Body Activity Data. It outlines a technology wherein human body activity associated with a task provided to a user may be used in a mining process of a cryptocurrency system. The human is given an activity to accomplish, which is sent from a body sensor to the cloud and to the cryptocurrency system, rewarding the human with money. And while this is happening, the world is being told to stay at home until a vaccine can be developed, while the 5G needed to run artificial intelligence is rapidly rolling out worldwide.
Okay, so Bill Gates and his wife have a chip that's going to be involved with the vaccine. Now, they say it's not a chip. They're calling it some kind of ink. I forget what. I should have wrote it down. I did. But they showed a picture of it there, and it has little teeth, like a, if you're into computers, like a chip. Now, here's what they're saying. You get the corona vaccine, then you take the chip, and then as you're walking down the street, the authorities don't have to ask you or ask you to show papers. They can just scan you, and if you have that chip, then you're okay. If you don't have that chip, they may come to your home and drag you off from your family for the safety of the rest of your family as your kids sit there and scream. Just like, and you think, well, that couldn't happen. They arrested a guy at the park for throwing the ball with his daughter, and there was no one else at the park. Why couldn't the police go, you know what, listen, you know, there's a law. I know, you cute little girl. Why don't you just go home and do this before people get upset? Or the guy, did you see they were pulling him out of the bus? Half of the police officers did not have masks on, and he's holding on, and it just looked like a scene from China. And why couldn't they go up? Because the guy didn't have a mask on the bus. Why couldn't they go and say, sir, you're supposed to have a mask here. We're here to serve and protect. Here's a mask. No, instead they drag him out and show force. I think some of the officers, there was one officer served in special forces, served in the police department, and he said, listen, he was talking to other officers, listen, stand up for human rights. Don't violate people's rights. He got fired. Yeah. Horrible. This is America. I thought we could have freedom of speech. People are protesting. You can't protest. Since when? Listen, I didn't mind when I thought that you all were in danger of getting sick and dying. Listen, as a shepherd, as a pastor, I wanted to protect you. So I shut down. But now that I see the numbers and they're inflating them, and there's a cure, hydroxychloroquine, not a cure, but a treatment that's 90% effective. And they're making it illegal to use. It's anecdotal. I'm sorry, it's been around for years for malaria and other things. What do you mean it's anecdotal? I kick them in the anecdotal. Okay, we got one more step. There's two more videos, but I'm just going to take you to one more step. Bill Gates. Okay, do you know who his daddy is? His daddy is Bill Gates Sr. Do you know what his claim to fame is? He is the head of Planned Parenthood. Yes. So guess what? His dad now has Alzheimer's. So guess who's taking the mantle? Bill Gates. Watch this. And then it'll all come together. Watch.
Let's go to a couple questions that we've actually received since we started the webcast. The first is on population growth. And the question is, one of our most pressing issues is population growth. How do you expect this to be addressed?
Well, the population growth issue at the global level is not that daunting. That is, the population percentage-wise is growing slower today than in the past, and so it will actually peak out. The problem is that the population is growing the fastest where people are less able to deal with it. So it's in the very poorest places.
Well, they can't
that
afford
you're going
abortions.
To have a tripling in population by 2050. And so their ability to feed, educate, provide jobs, stability, protect the environment in those locations mean they're faced with an almost impossible problem. Northern Nigeria, Yemen, Chad, And so what we need to do is take this aid generosity and this innovation and go into those places, offer the women better tools where they want to space birthing or have a smaller family size.
Recently, we saw millions of women marching
his
in
wife.
Various cities around the world after the election of Donald Trump and his inauguration. We have seen sort of a talk about rolling back women's access to contraception in the U.S., women's access to family planning, clinics worldwide that take U.S. aid money that will no longer be able to give advice on abortion, access to family planning, et cetera. Are you worried at all that we're in a climate right now where these type of initiatives, this type of work, could be threatened not just by your work, but by other foundations, other advocacy groups, other initiatives that are doing similar work?
Well, I'm personally concerned about the Mexico City policy that's put back on, and particularly we'll see what happens of it. But, you know, I believe in universal access. I'm very open about that, universal access to contraceptives.
As restaurants, bars, and public venues close all over the nation to prevent the spread of the coronavirus, Planned Parenthood is still open for business. That is this week's Speak Out segment. The nation's largest abortion business is not letting a pandemic stop them. Many Planned Parenthood facilities are still committing abortions. The acting president of Planned Parenthood, Alexis McGill Johnson, wrote in a tweet, quote, "To our Planned Parenthood community, know that in these uncertain times, we're here with you. We're going to be here in every way we can to provide the health care and information you need, no matter what." Of course, we know that abortion is not health care. Even though Planned Parenthood likes to call itself a health care provider, it is unequipped and unwilling to help patients impacted by the coronavirus. In fact, the abortion industry is preying on women and unplanned pregnancies right now, profiting off of the fear that comes with economic uncertainty and a global pandemic.
Planned Parenthood is on the defensive this morning, facing an investigation of its practices. An undercover video alleges the Reproductive Health Organization sells body parts from abortions. The group says the claims are flat out untrue. Jan Crawford is in Washington, where three congressional committees are now getting involved. Jan, good morning.
Well, good morning. So the video was secretly recorded by the anti-abortion group as part of a 2.5-year sting operation. Here, two members posed as employees of a biotech firm to get access to a top doctor at Planned Parenthood. And over lunch, they recorded the whole conversation.
A lot of people want exact parts these days.
In graphic detail, Planned Parenthood's senior director of medical services described how to preserve valuable fetal tissue during an abortion.
We've been very good at getting parts on the because we know that we do. So I'm not going to crush that part. I'm going to basically crush it below, I'm going to crush it above, and I'm going to see that get out intact.
Over wine and salad, she answered questions about the organization providing fetal tissue to researchers, typically for a fee.
I would say it's probably anywhere from $30 to $100, depending on the facility and what's involved.
Planned Parenthood no longer accepts financial reimbursement for fetal tissue. These are the facts about Planned Parenthood, but opinions on both sides of the aisle about the organization will continue to make Planned Parenthood a controversial topic during the upcoming election.
Okay, just think. I know you all are smart. Bill Gates' dad was the head of Planned Parenthood. Bill Gates and his wife are now, they have a club of billionaires who donate money for around the world to take their Planned Parenthood agenda. He's researching a vaccine. They sell fetal tissue for what? Scientific what? Research. So why is Bill Gates so involved in all this? You tell me. Math. How about this? Isaiah 5:20. Woe to those who call good evil and call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Corey Johnson, New York City Council Speaker, hates Franklin Graham's Samaritan Purse. Here's what he says. Now, you know, the Samaritan Purse went and took tents and set up temporary hospitals for free in New York, because that's what Christians do. Here's what he says. It's time for Samaritan's Purse to leave New York City. This group led by the notorious bigot, hate-spewing Franklin Graham, came at a time when our city couldn't in good conscience turn away any offer of help. That time has passed. In fact, Bill de Blasio sent staff members to monitor what the Samaritan Purse was doing. Now, the New Yorkers are right. This is Jonathan Merritt says this in an article. The New Yorkers are right to be skeptical of evangelically run Corona Ward in Central Park. So what did they list that was so bad about Samaritan's Purse? They complained. Here were their complaints. One, that during the earthquake in El Salvador, they shared the gospel to people that they helped. During the Gulf War, they had an Arab translation of the Bible that they gave out. Operation Christmas Child, they're mad at because they found out in the boxes there was some Christian material for kids, along with toys and toothbrushes. And how dare they? They call it hate speech. But it's okay to speak hatefully of Frank. Do you see what is happening? The liberal media is now saying it's good that they're out of there, kicking them out from trying to do what? Help. Help. Listen, folks, if I'm going to wrap this up, I was going to talk about China, but we don't have enough time. I'll have to save it for another time, but that's a whole nother ball of wax. Let me zoom past all of that. No. Well, I promise I have to do a second part to this anyway. Yes. Yeah. No one's got jobs, right? We're gonna have Corona Church till midnight. It's crazy out there. We got to not be blind. Here's my question for you. First of all, not a question, let me make a statement. First of all, even if they come up with a vaccine, we already know how vaccines work. When you get the flu, you get a flu vaccine. How many of you get the flu vaccine? How many of you still get the flu? Yes. Are you flu free completely? Who here is flu free that gets the vaccine? Oh, you're flu free? You never get the flu? Never? What about before the vaccine? You don't know? Okay. Easier. It's supposed to ease the flu. But that's not the way they're talking about this. They're talking about, oh, if we had a vaccine. Well, how about hydroxychloroquine, which has a 90%+ success rate? How about just using that? But they made it outlaw in several states, and doctors will get in trouble if they prescribe. Why? Well, the FDA hasn't approved it. Well, I don't know. Wouldn't it be better to have that? If you're going to die, if it's so bad, according to Cuomo, you get the disease, it equals death. Shouldn't we at least try? One person said this. This, if we are truly at war with this virus, then you have to use battlefield medical. And in that case, you do whatever you can to save a life. Or to attempt to. Well, they're dying. Well, let's not give them hydroxychloroquine because they might die. How about this? A couple of thoughts real quick. Smoking. 500,000 people die a year from smoking. Why aren't they banning cigarettes? Listen, if we lowered the speed limit from 75 to 35, we could still get to work. We could still take longer. But how many lives would we save? We're willing to take the risks. This pandemic is a real disease. And some people have really died. But people die from the flu every year. Benjamin Netanyahu said that we are on the verge of major biblical. He also said the same thing. We're about to see millions of people die from starvation and suicide. And domestic violence is on a rise. And violence in general is on a rise because people are on edge. People, listen, this is really bad. And when people say, oh, you know, Trump just wants to, you know, get the stock market up. No, we don't want to see, I don't want to see people die. We need to reopen our nation. But even when we do, we got a rough road. How do I know? Because the Bible tells me it's supposed to get worse before it gets better. The Bible also tells me this, that Jesus could come back at any time. And are you ready? Because the signs are unrolling. Like if we're getting ready for the mark, that's not the mark, but it's getting ready so that we're desensitized. We're getting desensitized to being persecuted. We're not in persecution yet, but it's starting so that we go, oh yeah, they're dragging someone off. That's the norm. We are living in biblical last days. All you have to do is read your Bible and look at the news. Put two and two together. There's so much more. I just don't have time to develop it. Let me leave you with the Bible verse from Psalm 139, verse 4 through 10. For there is not a word on my tongue, but behold, O Lord, you know it altogether. You have hedged me from behind and from before. You lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It's high. I cannot obtain it. Where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, you are there. If I take wings of the morning and dwell at the outermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, your right hand shall hold me. We are being held by the Lord no matter what goes on around us. But we are to be wise as serpent and gentle as doves. We are to have discernment from the Holy Spirit. We are to jettison what anyone tells us. Go to the Word, pray, and read discernment. Seek the Lord. Look for answers from Him. And question everything from me, from the newspaper, from the television. Question, research, do your due diligence. And most of all, read your Bible, pray to the Lord, and let's love each other. I didn't even get to that part yet. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for tonight. And Lord, I just pray that each person would take and assimilate this. They'll study it. They'll research it. They'll make sure they go proper channels to find the information that they need. Lord, this is a crazy world. I never thought I would see this in America. But Lord, you said a house divided should not stand, and America is so divided. From churches are divided, colors are divided, religions are divided, atheists and believers are divided, political parties are divided. God, a house divided cannot stand. But here's the thing, as your children, we are unified, believing and trusting in you, Lord Jesus. And we ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen.